Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hi, fellow football fan. During the coming weeks, we'll shed some light on the football culture of different countries that have qualified for the upcoming World Cup. From Cameroon to Australia, and from the United States to Ghana. In this episode, we dive into the culture of a country best known for its delicious tacos, mariachi music, and fearless football, Mexico. My name is Sam van Raalte, and welcome to The Home of Football, a podcast powered by 433. Mexico lives and breathes football. The country's national team is nicknamed El Tri because of the three colors in the Mexican flag. Pavel Pardo is a legend in Mexico. He played 146 games for the national team as a defensive midfielder. Pavel also achieved successes in Europe, winning the Bundesliga in dramatic fashion with VfB Stuttgart in 2007. I called Pavel Pardo to get his perspective on football culture in Mexico. Here's Pavel.
Well, the culture in Mexico is huge. You know, it's a passion for the football. Everybody, all the kids want to be as a professional football player. When World Cup coming, the city stopped, you know, because everybody wants to watch the national team. I remember when I was young, when the national team played, we stopped classes and we watched the national team. So that's the passion and that's the culture in Mexico about football.
Yeah, and what do you remember from playing at a World Cup, you know? What's that like in your experience?
Well, in my experience, and I remember the first time it was in 1998 in France. I remember that it was in the beginning. I was nervous because it was the first time to play. So it was amazing, went to the field and it was crowded, a lot of Mexican people, because in every World Cup you can see as many fans from Mexico, and this is amazing when you are on the field and this is the anthem from Mexico and singing the anthem from Mexico, like, I don't know, 10,000, 20,000 people in the stadium out of your country, that's amazing.
What do you expect from Mexico at this World Cup, at the upcoming World Cup in Qatar? What do you expect from this team?
Well, of course, we always expect a lot of our national team, you know? But I have a lot of confidence in the players, in the staff, in the trainer. And for me, I would like, or I expect, of course, to pass to the next round. And of course, we always talk in Mexico about the fifth game, you know, to pass the next round. And I think it is a big opportunity because right now, of course, in this moment or like in the year, the level of the performance of the national team, it wasn't really good. But I think there are opportunities on the life. There are opportunities in football. And I think this is important because the opportunity is there. It's in Qatar, it's the World Cup. And you have everything to win and nothing to lose. Because right now the expectation from the fans, from everybody says, oh no, the national team right now is not playing really so good. But I said, this is the opportunity, you know. The life is that, and this is the and you have to take it. So right now in Qatar, for me, I have a lot of confidence in the players. I have confidence in my national team. Hopefully, it's going to be a really good World Cup.
Cesar Hernandez is a football journalist who works for ESPN in the US. He lives in San Diego, close to the Mexican border. His parents are both from Mexico, and few know Mexican football better than Cesar. Here's Cesar on how the beautiful game impacted him from a young age.
I mean, it's almost synonymous with Mexican culture. I mean, I guess from a personal experience, I could even say that, you know, sometimes people ask me, you know, oh, when did you become, you know, a football fan, you know, a soccer fan, and when did that start? And I feel as if my answer is the same answer that many Mexicans would say, is just, you know, from birth. You know, I was, when I was, you know, my parents would make jokes that, you know, that, you know, when I was born, you know, I was, jerseys were already put on me as a child. And I feel that's the same with Mexican culture in general, where it's just, it's almost synonymous with it. It's almost synonymous with the idea of, you know, of tacos. It's almost synonymous with the idea of just an identity of that culture. So yeah, I mean, it is, you know, when it comes to sport, and obviously there are other sports within Mexico that are hugely popular, but nothing that comes close to the popularity of football.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the national team. Gerardo Martino is the manager still. The team is, well, it's not doing very well at the moment, I believe, but can you tell me what the current state is of the Mexican national team and how you rate it at the moment?
Well, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety about the national team right now. Sure, you look at World Cup qualifying, you see that they finished second and actually didn't finish first just due to goal differential. But when you take a deeper dive into El Tri, as they're known, when you take a deeper dive into how they did in World Cup qualifying, it was a lot of tense and close results. And that's not anticipated for a team that is supposed to be one of the giants in the region, and not only just World Cup qualifying, but you've seen in recent friendlies, you know, Mexico has struggled. They've really struggled. We saw the collapse against Colombia recently. We saw them narrowly sneaking past Peru. That was last month as well. In August, they lost the Paraguay. The Nations League matches, you know, they weren't exactly convincing against Jamaica. So there are a number of really worrying results here for El Tri leading into the World Cup. And in a recent media day, which was supposed to be a send-off for El Tri before the World Cup, there were, you know, it seemed like there were themes of injuries and poor runs of form for El Tri. And Martino himself had admitted that Mexico haven't been at their best since 2019, 2020. You know, there was also conversations in that media day send-off about injuries for Tecatito Corona, who is arguably Mexico's most talented player, about injuries for Raul Jimenez. You know, obviously he isn't at the same level, and he's still recovering from an injury. And Hector Herrera, who's such a crucial player, but he's had injuries as well. So there's a lot of anxiety, but still that seems to be the norm, to be honest, for Mexico. Typically they have a bad run of form ahead of the World Cup, but that hasn't necessarily meant a bad World Cup though.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the manager, is he under pressure, or how do the Mexican people look at him at the moment?
Well, I think when I think of Tata Martino right now, all I think of are Mexico games in the U.S., in Mexico, and even an away game in Jamaica, where every single match you hear the same chant, which is Fuera Tata, which means Tata out. That has been a constant for him, especially this year. Then again, it seems as if reports have indicated that he might be leaving the national team after the World Cup. So whether if that's what most fans want, I mean, I guess the truth is that it is what most fans want, but there, it looks like this might be the end of a run for him with Mexico, but we'll see what happens after the World Cup. But some reports are indicating that he could be leaving after the World Cup. But yeah, as mentioned, Fuera Tata has just been a constant in so many games.
But what can we expect from guys like Moreno and Guardado, like the veterans of the team now?
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With Moreno, Guardado, I mean, it's an interesting moment for players like them. I think you could even throw in, let's say, a Hector Herrera. We can throw in someone like maybe even Ernesto Araujo. These are very important players to Tri. They're players who are veterans of the squad. They've had a huge amount of experience with Tri. And I think that this is a big moment for them because it might be their last World Cup. Guardado has mentioned that this is probably his last World Cup. Moreno, I can't see him take a part in another World Cup in the future. So right now, Mexico is at a transitional moment going forward. And I think that this will be their last opportunity. And it's going to be interesting, too, because, yes, Guardado, Moreno, Hector Herrera, these are very, very important players to El Tri. But are they at their peak? Are they at their best? I don't think so. I think their best was about perhaps a year, two, 3 years ago. And I think the big question for me, at least regarding those players, is if their experience will be more important than their current level of play, which could potentially be a liability, to be honest, against some of the best.
What do you expect from Mexico during the upcoming World Cup in the group with Poland, Argentina, and Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because I think for El Tri, the goal, and I think in general, the minimum goal for El Tri is to make it out of the group stage. As we've seen since 1994, they've always made it out of the group stage. They've always moved on to the round of 16. That has been a constant for them. But looking ahead to this World Cup, you do have worries. You do worry about them against Argentina. You do anticipate a loss there. And it seems like what's going to be crucial is that match against Poland, and which will be their first match in the World Cup. I think that's going to define whether they move on to the knockout round or not. Because assuming that Poland and Mexico have issues with Argentina, assuming that Mexico and Poland are also going to beat Saudi Arabia, it will probably come down to that first World Cup game between Mexico and Poland. And I do worry about them defensively. I do. I don't think that their backline would be the only one that'd be worried about taking on Lewandowski. I think any team in the world would be really worried about taking on Lewandowski. So, but if they're able to do that, that could potentially give them an opportunity. Maybe you have another highlight worthy moment from Guillermo Ochoa, which he tends to do almost every World Cup now, and he is still playing at a pretty high level for El Tri. So it wouldn't be out of the ordinary if he were to have a very good World Cup, despite being 37 years old. But I think that game will be key. And if they're able to get a good result against them, against Poland, then I think that they'll be able to move on to the knockout round. But after that, well, that's a little complicated, because even though I just said that Mexico always makes it to the knockout round since 1994, so that's seven consecutive World Cups. The thing with El Tri is that in those seven consecutive World Cups, they've been knocked out in the round of 16 as well. So that's why in Mexico, there's this infatuation with the idea of the quinto partido, the fifth game. It is a huge, huge infatuation, because if they can make it to that quinto partido, the fifth game, so by the fifth game, I mean the quarterfinal match, because that would be the fifth game of the tournament, there would be, honestly, the entire nation would celebrate if they make it to that quinto partido. If they make it to that fifth game, that quarterfinal, that'd be a historic day in Mexican soccer. But do I have confidence that they'll be able to do that? I'm not entirely sure. But then again, as I mentioned earlier, a poor lead up to the World Cup hasn't necessarily meant a bad World Cup for El Tri. And we'll see what happens once they land in Qatar.
Mexican football fans are wild. They live for their national team. A brilliant example of that is José Zamora. He rose to fame in Mexico and found himself in the global spotlight when he reacted to Mexico's elimination in the 2014 World Cup, after the Netherlands were awarded a very controversial penalty, after the referee spotted a foul on Arjen Robben. Of course, the Mexicans never believed this was a penalty. So, Joseso tweeted, "No era penal, it wasn't a penalty, not one day, not 2 days, no." He tweeted this every day for several years. I called Joseso to join me on the podcast. Here's Joseso on his love for the Mexican national football team.
Now that we are just a few months away from the World Cup, I can say that at least every man here in Mexico are just waiting to see the national team doing their job in Qatar.
Yeah, what do you remember from watching the national team as a kid? What was the vibe like in the country?
I mean, I remember that it was when, I believe, after the World Cup of South Africa. I remember too much that the first match after Spain was world champion was a friendly match here in Mexico at Azteca Stadium. And I was there and it was like, wow, you know, the whole stadium was full. All the people were supporting, obviously, Mexico. The stadium was supporting Mexico and it was amazing.
That's beautiful, man. And of course, you yourself became a little bit famous after the World Cup, 2014 World Cup, because Mexico played the Netherlands then. And that's when Arjen Robben, he maybe dived, maybe he deserved a penalty. I don't know, but you were very clear. You said this wasn't a penalty, no era penal, and you tweeted it for years, every day. So let's take us back to that moment. Where are you when you saw this penalty happening, and why did you decide to tweet about it every day that this was not a penalty?
Yeah, you know, I was actually seeing the match in a state called Michoacán here in Mexico. The whole country was actually excited, actually expecting to finally achieve that fifth match because how well the team was playing on, you know, taking that 1 point against Brazil in Brazil. How we win against Croatia. I believe that a lot of people was thinking that maybe this was going to be our year. And when the penalty came, it was like, oh man, it's happening again, you know? Obviously, seeing the repetition of the play, of all the match, and it was like, it was hard, you know. I don't remember even which age was I, but I was really disappointed because I was expecting that finally we're going to be playing a fifth match in the World Cup, and it just don't happen.
Arjen Robben got the penalty. I think Klaas-Jan Huntelaar shot the penalty, scored a goal, and then you were out of the World Cup. And then you decided to tweet every day, no era penal. It was not a penalty. You did that for more than 1,000 tweets. I think, I don't know, I lost count how many times you tweeted it. Why did you decide to do this and what kind of responses did you get?
You know, at the beginning, it was kind of a joke between one friend and I. Because at the beginning, all the people start taking like some images to Twitter, like saying day one, it wasn't a penalty. Day two, it wasn't a penalty. And I was retweeting them and also like doing some particular tweets about that. And then those images stop, but I continue tweeting like day five, day six, day seven, it wasn't a penalty. And one friend of mine told me like, hey, I believe that you won't, that you can't continue doing this for until the next World Cup of Russia. I take that like as a, yeah, like a challenge. And so I continue tweeting it, you know, it was kind of a joke, but I believe that it was maybe like the first year, or I don't remember how it went, how many time it passed. And the account, the Twitter account of the Mexican Football
Association.
Yeah. Contact me that they wanted to do me an interview and all that stuff. And that I believe that that's when everything started, you know. They interview me, then some other internet pages contact me to do the same. Some news papers, some local newspapers do the same. After that, I believe that it was on one Gold Cup that Mexico win it, also having two polemical penalties. And that was the first time that the Netherlands football team account, Twitter account, replied me in Twitter, like saying like, hey, congratulations for the Gold Cup. It wasn't a penalty or something like that. So it was kind of fun because I was expecting the reply from the Dutch national team. I was also expecting that in some point, maybe somebody or someone in Mexico contact me to give an interview, but I didn't was expecting that it was going to be like this big, you know?
Yeah.
One day when the Dutch national team reply me, like after this Gold Cup, I was actually, because of the difference in the time zone, I was sleeping. And when I woke up, I see my Twitter account and I saw that I was having like, I don't know, like so many notifications, you know, like a lot of people was starting following me. A lot of people was mentioning me. A lot of people was retweeting and all that stuff. And I just saw that it was because the Dutch national team have answered me.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, the tweet, like the most viral tweet that I tweet, it was when Sweden eliminates Netherlands in the qualification for Russia. After that match, I remember that I tweeted with an image like, hey, good luck next time. See you in Qatar. And also that was like a lot of people retweeted that tweet, give like, you know, a lot of replies came from that tweet. And it was like kind of fun. I really didn't believe at any point that it was going to be like this viral. I get invited to a TV show in the United States. I never believed that it was going to be that big, you know?
Yeah, that's great, man. Why did you stop? Did you stop at the 2018 World Cup in Russia, like your friend challenged you? When did you stop tweeting?
No, I believe I stopped tweeting after that match between Sweden and Netherlands. I just think that it wasn't like any motivation, any extra motivation to continue tweeting it until Russia, because I believe that karma has already done their work, you know?
Yes, I understand. So I think your story says a lot about the football passion in Mexico, right? That you tweeted that for years and years because you thought it wasn't a penalty that your country suffered. Now, we're going to the next World Cup. Mexico will be there. The Netherlands will be there too, but they will be in another group. Mexico will be there in a group with Poland, Argentina and Saudi Arabia. What do you expect from Mexico at this World Cup in Qatar?
Well, what I expect is that Mexico could advance to the next round. I believe that they will do it like they usually do, like one tie, one win, and one loss. Obviously, maybe the tie against Poland, the loss against Argentina, the win, obviously, against Saudi Arabia. And I believe that another time, that will be it. Seeing how the brackets will be and assuming that we'll be passing as second of the group, our rival will be France. And I really don't see how Mexico could win to France, but I just at least expect that they can advance from the group stage. Hopefully they surprise us this time. Hopefully.
Let's hope Mexico will finally make it to that elusive fifth game at the World Cup. I want to thank Pavel Pardo, Cesar Hernandez and José Zamor for their time. Follow this podcast to never miss any episodes. And if you want to have early access to our podcast episodes, download the 433 app. It's free and our podcast episodes are published there a week earlier than on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. All right, my name is Sam Verraete. Thank you for listening and on to the next story in the home of football.
Hi guys, Frankie here. I just filmed the podcast with 433.
I'm Rhea Ferdinand.
I'm Mario Götze.
My name is Clarence Seedorf.
Hi, I'm Sunil Chetri. I just finished my podcast with 433.
Yo, what's going on, people? It's your boy, Adi Barak, filmer, a.k.a. Mr. Beast Mode. And I just finished the podcast with 433.
Hi, 433 fans. It's Don Robbie in the building, right? And we are here for a great podcast. I want you to check it out.
Hi, 433. I am Fabrizio Romano. Check out my story on the podcast. It was a great pleasure.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.